Last week we finished John chapter 10. We went through verses 22 to 42. In a way of review, this is where Christ made another declaration that he was equal with God, and it made everybody mad. In verses 22 and 23, we see it was a desperate time. It was winter. It was the feast of the dedication, which is Hanukkah. This is where the temple was cleansed from Antiochus Epiphanes back in 165 B.C. And this is also the last time that Christ speaks to the public. Because when he leaves, this time, he comes back to be crucified. When he comes back into the temple, the next time, he cleanses it. He drives everybody out. And so what we have here is there's a need for cleansing, but they didn't know it. There was the needed person was outside because he was in Solomon's porch where Peter and John met that lame man and he got healed. Healing was not in the temple, it was outside. The Son of God was outside, not inside. And so it was a desperate time because the nation of Israel, once again, all there, wasn't recognizing him as who he is. There was a determined debate. One last time they said, "Hey, if you are Christ, show us plainly." Well, have I told you? And we went through that list of 16 things about how Christ had told them. He gave them a direct answer. And basically, the decisive reason, because they're not his sheep. They're not his sheep. In verses 27 through 30, we see two destinies started. The first of all is the destiny of the believer. The reason that there's people going to heaven is because they're his sheep and they know his voice and they follow him. They have a destination that everyone needs is heaven. And if you're not going to heaven, you're going to hell. And you need to change that direction. And Christ has made a way. They have a defender. Christ is their defender. He's their advocate instead of what they were expecting. They have a determination you do not have. Christ and God are one. We have great confidence that no one's going to separate us from the love of Christ. In verses 31 through 33, they wanted to stone him again. It is the disgust of the depraved. Their opposition, their obstinance. They said, "You're blaspheming God because you're claiming you're God." He is! Sometimes the truth is hard to accept. But it doesn't mean it's not the truth. Except today. In verses 34 and 38, we see the dilemma of the deceit. Christ gives an answer. He says, look. He says, "I'll quote you some scripture." And folks, when we have a discussion, we need to have enough scripture in our mind that we can quote scripture and give an answer that way. That way. He gives an answer out of Psalms. He says, "God called you gods." Okay? And who's the blasphemer now? The issue is Christ applied it to them and said, "You don't even know what you're talking about." And so, who is the real blasphemer? And then he departs. He goes back to Transjordan, back where he was baptized by John the Baptist. And the next time he comes to Jerusalem, he doesn't depart. He doesn't depart. So we're 3 months, 3.5 months away from the crucifixion. This is the last time he speaks to them openly. And he goes to the desert, and people following him, the ones that are devoted, and they follow Christ there. Now, John chapter 11, you know what it's all about. It's about the resurrection of Lazarus, okay? We're going to split this up into at least two parts, if not three parts. Tonight, we're going to look at the first 16 verses. So Jesus is not going to get there. He's going to be on his way there. And so, the title of the sermon tonight is The Greater Need. The Greater Need. Now, Jesus needs to raise you spiritually more than heal you physically. That's the issue here. He needs to raise you spiritually more than heal you physically. And there's 3 points tonight. First of all, in verses 1 through 3, we see a specific someone. It says, now, a certain man was sick. This guy is real. His name is Lazarus. A certain man was sick named Lazarus of Bethany. Now, Bethany is about 2 miles outside of Jerusalem. And the town of Mary and sister Martha. It was that Mary which anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. Let's take a little small parenthetical here. You're going to see this story in John 12. John writes this after everything. So he's talking, he's going to identify Mary now as who she is and then for what she's going to do. Okay? In verse 3, it says, therefore his sisters sent unto him, saying, Lord, behold, he whom thou lovest is sick. So Jesus is at least a day journey away from Bethany. Okay? He could be even further than that. But it's at least a day journey, and you'll figure that out next time we go through this. So what do we have here? We have a specific someone from a special family in verse 1. Now, who is Mary and Martha? Well, Christ has already met them. Christ has already been in their house. This is the same Mary and Martha that we see in Luke chapter 10, verses 38 through 42. It says, now it came to pass, as they went, that he entered into a certain village. And we know that that certain village is Bethany. Okay, and a certain woman named Martha, the same one, received him into her house. You know something? You're a special person when you receive Christ in your house. And she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. We know the story that Mary sat at the feet of Jesus. You know, that's a great place to be. If you want to know about God, you need to come to the feet of Jesus. But you know something? There's a lot of people that just get so busy that they don't take time out to be alone with Jesus. Yeah. Verse 39 says, and verse 40 says, but Martha was cumbered about with much serving and came to him and said, Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her therefore that she help me. And Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things. You're worried about the wrong stuff. So they're getting this theology lesson from Christ directly in their home. Folks, that's where we ought to have theology lessons with our family. In the home. We need to have God come in. We don't meet God here. We meet God everywhere. And it says, but one thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen that good part, which shall not be taken away from her. Now here's the issue. There's a special family here. And folks, when you have a relationship with Christ, you're special. And God understands that. So there's a special family, and there's a special request. We know in the passage here that Lazarus was what? Sick. You know, sometimes we think that God is too far away. We think that, you know, he's not going to hear, he's not going to care, and so no one prays to him. But he's at least a day journey. Mary and Martha, they don't go there on their own. They're staying with Lazarus to take care of him. They send someone to go find Jesus. Now, here's the deal. To go find Jesus, you need to know where he is. You thought about that? They had a general idea, but Jesus was easily found. Okay? He was easily found here. And so they had a special request. Why? Not for themselves, but for someone else. And folks, we need to start bringing as intercessory prayer, as supplication prayer, to pray for other people instead of ourselves. So there is a special request here. It's in God's will. It's in God's plan that this happened. But you've got to have the effort to get to it. You've got to know where he is, and you have to send the message. You have not because you ask not. So there's a special family. There's a special request, and we need to understand here what Philippians 4:6 says. It says, be careful or be anxious for nothing. Obviously, Martha learned her lesson. But in everything, by what? Prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 16 says this, let us therefore come boldly into the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. There's a corollary to this. If you don't come to the throne of grace, you won't find it. You've got to come to Jesus. So there's a special family. And in this special family, there's a certain man. And his name is Lazarus. And he's sick. And they intercede for him. And there's a special reason. And the special reason is what the sisters say. Look at verse 3. Therefore his sister sent unto him, saying, Lord, behold, he whom thou lovest is sick. There's a reason that we can boldly approach the throne of grace. It's because Jesus loves me.
Amen.
It's because Jesus loves me. And folks, we need to bank on that. We need to let that come into our hearts. In 1 John chapter 4, verse 9, it says, and this was manifested, the what? Love of God. Toward who? Us. Because that God sent His only begotten Son into the world that we might what? Live through Him. Okay, we know the story of Lazarus. He's going to live again. So this verse kind of takes on some extra meaning here. So we see this specific someone from a special family. Okay? With a special request for a special reason. Folks, God's going to give us what we need because He loves us. Amen. What we need.
Amen.
What we need, not what we want. So that's verses 1 through 3. In verses 4 through 6, we see a specific sickness. It says, when Jesus heard that, He said, this sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God may be glorified thereby. Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. Ah! What did they say? They said, the one who you love is sick. Now John is saying, Jesus loves them all. Jesus loves us all. We have a relationship with Him. He loves us all. When he had heard, therefore, that he was sick, he abode 2 days still in the same place where he was. Now, think about this. If it takes a day to get there, he goes 2 days there, it takes a day to get back, how many days is that? 4. Wait till next lesson, okay? Wait till next lesson, okay? So here, in verse 4, we see the symptoms of the sickness that are involved. First of all, Christ says, it's not unto death. He knew what was going to happen. Okay? It was as sure as Abraham taking Isaac up to the mountain and telling the servants that walked with him, we'll be back. It's as sure as Isaac was not sacrificed. God provided himself a sacrifice. So Jesus is saying this. It's not unto death. Well, he dies. But to be dead to yourself is to be alive to the Lord. But we won't go there. It's not unto death. And it's for the glory of God. Sound familiar? What started the whole hubbub that got everybody ticked off at Jesus in the first place? When he healed the blind man, right? And there was a discussion that who did the sin? His parents or him? Because the guy was born blind. And Jesus said neither. Jesus said this in verses 3 and 4 of John chapter 9. He says, Jesus answered, neither hath this man sinned, nor his parents, but that the works of God should be what? Manifest in him. And he said, I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. Okay? Hang on to that fourth verse for a second, because we're going to see that again. We're going to see this again. So, it's for the glory of God. What God, Christ does here doesn't benefit just Lazarus. It's going to benefit everybody, especially his disciples. Remember, he has now pulled away from public ministry to private ministry of his disciples. He's told them that this is going to happen, this crucifixion thing is going to happen. They're not very happy with that. And so he's going to show this. He's going to show Martha and Mary what resurrection power is all about. He's going to show all the Jews what resurrection power. He's going to do something that God only can do. Now, he's healed the nobleman's son. He's healed Jairus' daughter. Raised them from the dead. But they were just like dead now. Lazarus will be dead for some time. So, the symptoms involved is not unto death, because in Christ you live. Okay? And then it's for the glory of God. That's everything in our life. Should be for the glory of God. Secondly, there's a special declaration in verse 5. Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. Now this is, they say, the man that you love is sick. Now it's expanded to everybody because they're a special family. See, why did they go to Jesus in the first place? Because they knew that Jesus was the only source of help for their problem. Oftentimes we make Jesus the last source of help for a problem. Yeah. We try to solve it our own, and then when everything else doesn't work, then we go to God. No, you go to God first. Okay? You go to God first. Romans chapter 5, verse 5 says, and hope maketh not ashamed. You're not going to be disappointed if you hope in God. Because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. God does everything as an act of love. He does everything as an act of love. And in verse 6 we see there's a specific delay. There's a specific delay. You know, here's the point. In this society now, when we have a problem, we want something, someone there, right on the spot, fix it now. Okay? Fix it now. Been there, right? I'm sure we've all experienced this. Mary and Martha want Jesus to drop everything and come and fix it now. You'll find that next time. Because they'll say that. God wants us to have, what's one of the fruits of the Spirit? Long-suffering. Patience. Patience. Everybody's laughing now. Okay? We're short on patience, aren't we? We're short on patience. Christ deliberately stayed there to force the issue. God's going to force issues in your life so you can learn the lessons that you need to learn. If we gave our kids everything that they want immediately, we say that we will what? Spoil them. God doesn't want a bunch of spoiled brats in his kingdom. He wants us to wait and have patience and have faith, be able to have some perseverance here. And all these things, the fruit of the Spirit. So it says, there's a specific delay. He says, he heard it. He knew. He's God. He knows what's going to happen. And there's a specific delay. Psalm 27 verse 14 says this, wait on the Lord. Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thine heart. But sometimes it works opposite. We wait on the Lord, we get impatient, and we don't think God cares. He loves us, folks. He loves us. He was in their house. He knows exactly what's going on. We have a high priest that is touched by our infirmities. Okay? Wait, I say, on the Lord. So we see a specific someone. We see a specific sickness. And then in verses 7 through 16, we see a specific trip. A specific trip. There's no return. Because Christ says this in verse 7. It says, then after that, what? That, the 2 days. Okay? Well, what happened in those 2 days? We don't need to know. It doesn't matter. God wanted to wait 2 days. That should be good enough. Period. Then after that, saith he to his disciples, let us go into Judea again. It is now time. It is now time. We have studied through John, and we've seen that there have been times that they wanted to take him, wanted to kill him, and he went out because his time had not yet come. Now it is time for Christ to come back. This is what gets Christ back to Jerusalem. Okay? In the sense of, you know, the circumstances here. The plan is to get crucified. But this is the motivation. To raise somebody from the what? Dead. Okay? Now, the disciples were really overjoyed when God said this. They had seen what happened at the end of chapter 10. They had seen what happened when Christ said, I'm God, and he wanted to do what? Stone him. And that hasn't gone unnoticed with them. So in verse 8, there's negative recollection. And no. It's the disciples said unto him, Master, the Jews of late sought to stone thee, and goest thou thither again? Jesus, this makes no sense. Why are we going to Judea? Now, they don't get the answer they want. We'll see that at the end of this passage. But you know, sometimes we have to walk through the valley of the shadow of death. I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. In Psalm 56, verse 4, in God I will praise his word. I have put my trust. I will not fear what flesh can do unto me. 1 John chapter 4, verse 18, there is no fear in love. I had a student come to school Tuesday, and she said, I'm scared of you, Mr. Drew. And I said, you don't love me enough. What? I said, there is no fear in love. You don't love me enough. Mr. Drew. I said, that's Bible. Okay? It says, there is no fear in love. But what? But perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. The disciples have to learn a lesson. God's plan is God's plan, no matter what you think of it. God's timing is God's timing, no matter what you think of it. God, where God goes is where God he's going to go and what he's going to do, no matter what you think about it. And so they say, don't you understand this? I think he does. He's God. But sometimes we go and we pray to God and we do something and we say, we actually act as if we don't think God understands. He does. He does. So there's a specific trip with no return. There's a specific trip with negative recollection. They're remembering all these things that happened in the past. In verses 9 and 10, We say it's a specific trip with a necessary resolve. Jesus answered. Now, how did he answer about the blind man? He says, I must work the works of him that sent me while it is what? Day. The night cometh when no man can work. The night's almost here. He says here, in verse 9, he says, Jesus asked, are there not 12 hours in the day? If any man walk in the day, he stumbleth not, because he seeth the light of this world. But a man, if a man walk in the night, he stumbleth, because there is no light in him. Christ is going back on this trip of no return in the midst of imminent danger. And he sees it because it's day. He's got the resolve. The Bible also says that he set his face like a flint to go to Jerusalem at this time. So, specific trip with no return, with negative recollection, with necessary resolve. And in verses 11 through 15, with needed reasons. There are three reasons why this trip happens. Okay? The first one is to refine the disciples' thinking. In verses 11 through 13, these things said he. And after that, he saith unto them. Now, Jesus knows that Lazarus is already dead. They don't, but he does. Because our friend Lazarus sleepeth, but I go that I may awake him out of sleep. Now, if you heard that, what would be your natural way of thinking? He's taking a rest. He's on bed rest. He's going to get better. Verse 12. Then said his disciples, Lord, if he sleep, he shall do well. Makes sense. Makes sense. Howbeit, Jesus spake of his death, for they thought that he spoken of taking a rest and sleep. Now here's the issue. What do you think the disciples would have said if they had already known that Lazarus was dead? Jesus, there's no point in going. Exactly. There's no point in going. So now they're on their way. And so the second reason is to revive Lazarus. Because here's the answer in verse 14. Then said Jesus unto them, plainly, Lazarus is dead. And we're going to Jerusalem. We're going to Bethany. It doesn't matter what other people think, what other people want to do. I'm going to Bethany, and that's what's going to happen. And then you're going to see something that you never thought possible. But that's the next lesson. Okay? So he refines the disciples' thinking. So thinking out of the physical into the spiritual. And then basically to revive Lazarus. And then lastly to reveal himself to the disciples himself. In verse 15 it says, and I am glad for your sakes that I was not there, to the intent ye may believe. Nevertheless, let us go unto him. And so you see implied that they said, what's the use? What's the use? Folks, when God says something, you got to do it. This is a sickness not unto death, even though it happens, but God knows better. For the what? For the glory of God and for the glory of the Son. So, the disciples needed to see Lazarus resurrected. Because that's a prelude to the cross. It's a prelude. So they need to see this resurrection power on someone that's really, 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 really dead. So that a couple of months later, when they're all messed up, they say, Jesus is really, 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 really dead. And then he appears in the room. See? I told you so. But they're just, you know, when we hear all this and we hear what God says to us and everything else, we just accept it with open arms, and everything is happy. Well, it's a specific trip with no return. It's a specific trip with a negative recollection of what could happen. It's a specific trip with the necessary resolve here. It's a specific trip with needed reasons. And for the disciples, it was a specific trip with resignation. Because Thomas, that great spiritual man of faith, who doubts everything, says this. Then said Thomas, which is called Didymus, unto his fellow disciples, let us go, let us also go, that we may die with him. Now there's a point out, look at it. Yeah. But you know something? They're speaking their heart. And sometimes we need to speak our heart to God so He can correct the way we're thinking and put us on the right path. He knows what we're going through. Why hide? Why be politically correct? Say exactly what's on your heart. What did He say about Nathanael? Behold, an Israelite in which there's what? No guile. Because he spoke his mind. Can anything good come out of Nazareth? And God showed him. So, this is kind of prelude for next week, for 2 weeks from now. Are you ready for Christ's resurrection power? That's the next lesson. But let's talk about tonight. Are you ready to understand the power of the resurrection, what it means to us? That I may know Him and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His suffering, be made conformable to His death. Philippians chapter. So what about it? Do you know Him as your Savior? Is there some big thing in your life that you really need to ask God to do and you haven't? Is there something that you don't think God can solve? You need to give all that up tonight. We need to increase our faith and basically wait on the Lord. Amen? Let's stand. Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank You for this day, Lord. We thank You for an opportunity, Lord, to come to Your house, study Your Word, and see its truth. Father, help us, Lord, to learn from this lesson tonight and from Your Word about how we're supposed to be. Lord, help us to see Your power and Your love in our lives. And let us show that to other people. We thank You and we give You this time of invitation. We ask that the Holy Spirit have full reign. We ask this thing in Jesus' name. Amen.